Chapter 19 The Tunnel. August 25th, 1997. The night was warm, clear, and beautiful. The NIDS team was sitting silently on the edge of a bluff, and the scene 100 feet below them was idyllic. Trees in full leaf edged the small pasture, and in the distance, 2 fields away, the ranch animals grazed peacefully. The scattered yard lights of the neighboring homestead punctuated the darkness. In the distance, some coyotes howled. Investigators Jim and Mike, not their real names, were on the bluff because it afforded them the best view to monitor the area where, in the previous few months, several strange events had taken place. 2 colleagues were about a mile away, on the far side of the property monitoring another hot spot. Mike and Jim had been in sporadic contact with them every couple of hours, but the agreement was to stay out of radio contact unless something really eventful began. But nothing stirred. Some 4 hours into the watch, Jim, the most experienced investigator, had quietly climbed down into the small pasture and had sat in the middle of the field to meditate. He had found over the years that meditation sometimes activated the phenomenon, whatever that was, although it happened too few times to be anything more than an anecdotal observation. Nothing happened. At 2:30 a.m., after a 6-hour watch, they decided to move their operation to a different part of the ranch. Quickly, they began to disassemble the camera from its tripod and pack up the 2 equipment carriers filled with the tools of the scientific investigator's trade, cameras, portable magnetic field detectors, and night vision binoculars. In 1997, their Generation 3 binoculars were considered state-of-the-art. They worked by amplifying low-level ambient light through a series of high-tech photomultiplier tubes. They were far superior to the usual Russian night vision equipment that looked just in the infrared. Through these night vision binoculars, the scene appeared to be in daylight, with sharp, crisp outlines, not the fuzzy, wavy images visible through the Russian equipment. Just as Jim was thinking that his meditation hadn't produced a damn thing, his eye caught a very faint light on the track 150 feet below him. He watched it, mildly puzzled, thinking that it might be a small piece of glass on the track that was reflecting ambient light. It was a faint, yellowish color, and as he watched, it appeared to be growing brighter. 20 seconds later, he nudged Mike. It was definitely getting brighter, and as both of them watched, it seemed slowly to be getting bigger. "Hand me the camera," Jim muttered. At the same time, Mike quietly and efficiently unpacked the night vision binoculars he had just put away. Jim set up the tripod and positioned his camera loaded with infrared film in line with the light that had now grown to 6 inches in diameter. It was still a dull yellow, but had definitely grown brighter. Carefully, Jim set the shutter to 30 seconds, reasoning that a long exposure might capture this mystery light on the freshly loaded roll of infrared film. He was ready to pop off all 36 shots if necessary. As Mike brought the binoculars to his eyes, Jim heard the sharp sucking in of breath. Jim could see that the light was now more than 1 foot wide and was still growing larger. This, very obviously, was not a reflection. The dirty yellow expanding light seemed to be positioned just above the ground, rather than directly on the ground, but Jim could not be sure. "It's a tunnel, not just a light," Mike whispered. Jim ignored his partner's growing agitation as he increased the length of the time exposures to 40, then 50 seconds. Mike was now standing up. "Jesus Christ," Mike said hoarsely. "Something's in the tunnel." Jim looked carefully at the light below. It had now expanded to more than 2 feet. Something that big should definitely register on his film. "Oh my God," Mike said suddenly, thoroughly frightened. "There's a black creature climbing out. I see his head." Jim felt alarm. His companion was plainly bordering on panic. "It has no face," whispered Mike. "Oh my God, it just climbed out." Jim rubbed his eyes and shook his head. All he could see was a dirty yellow light, now about 4 feet in diameter, 100 feet below him. Why couldn't he see what Mike was seeing? Suddenly, it dawned on him. The binoculars. He motioned for Mike to hand them to him, but not before increasing the time exposure to 90 seconds. Mike ignored him. "It's on the ground. he said. Oh, my God, it walked away. As Mike danced on the ledge a few feet away, plainly in a panicky state, Jim could see the light decreasing in size. Within 30 seconds, the dull yellow circle had shrunk to about half its full diameter and was losing intensity. In the meantime, Jim pulled Mike over close to him and asked, "What happened?" "A big black creature just crawled through that tunnel, got onto the ground, and walked away," Mike said. "That's what happened, and it's lurking around here somewhere." Jim felt a chill. "I only saw that yellow light," he said doubtfully. "Are you sure?" "Jesus Christ, of course I'm sure," Mike replied. "The night vision turned the light into a 3D tunnel and a large creature, I'm thinking maybe 400 pounds, at least 6 feet tall, just crawled out of the damn tunnel." Mike was sweating profusely, still breathing quickly, but he seemed to be regaining control over himself. Jim looked carefully around and motioned Mike to be quiet. Carefully, they listened for any noise of displaced stones that might indicate something climbing up the cliff in the darkness. By that time, the yellow light had gradually faded and was no longer visible. Only a deep silence remained. Nothing seemed to move. Even the distant coyotes had stopped howling. After 15 minutes or so, they grabbed some detectors and clambered as quietly as possible down the steep, rock-filled gradient below them. It would be very easy to break an ankle coming down in the darkness, so they took it very slowly, stopping every few feet to listen for sounds of the creature. Nothing stirred. But once near the track, a strong, pungent odor assailed their nostrils. They were both familiar with this sulfur-laden odor. It seemed to be centered on the spot where the light or tunnel had been. Jim felt slightly nauseous from the pungent smell. Quickly, Mike scanned the ground in a 20-foot diameter circle for any signs of radiation. The NARD alert counter could pick up alpha, beta, gamma, and X-rays, but after minutes of careful monitoring, only background levels were detectable. Meanwhile, Jim slowly scanned the area with a tri-field meter to detect any unusual magnetic spikes. Nothing registered. As the time passed, their confidence slowly returned. It had been almost 30 minutes since the creature had vanished, and nothing had come rushing out of the night to attack them. They were still watchful as they finished the monitoring, and then climbed back up to the top of the bluff to retrieve their equipment. Again, they scanned the area with night vision equipment for anything out of the ordinary, and slowly, they began the half-hour walk back to the observation trailer. Mike described to Jim what he had seen. The bizarre and creepy sight of a huge, black humanoid form using its elbows to lever itself along a 3D tunnel that appeared to be suspended a couple of feet above the track on which they now stood. Jim believed him. He knew that Mike had spent long hours in the darkness tracking this stuff and was not given to flights of fancy, at least not until tonight. The team spent hours the following day searching for footprints, but the ground was hard and none were visible. Mike and Jim worked on a written report of the incident. Their instruments had failed to record anything unusual. The photos were disappointing, showing only a single, very faint, blurry light in one and nothing on the rest of the roll of film. What had Mike witnessed crawling through the strange three-dimensional tunnel? What was that large, featureless, bulky humanoid creature that stood up and walked away silently into the darkness.